Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rock That Relationship. Today, we are talking all about our journey with our psychic. So this is part of a bigger series all about past life relationships and exploring Tracy and I. How did we know each other before? Because everyone in the intuitive world continues to tell us this. So today, we're going to talk about our experience with what we call our psychic. So how are you feeling about this topic today, Tracy?
Right. So the notes we were just referring to are referring to something else. So I'm digging through my note pile while we're doing this because I have a lot of notes.
Yes. Well, that's funny because like the notes too, when I met with like this psychic in particular, it's like my notes are on one thing and then they're on another and then they're on a different thing. And you have to sort of like, you know, kind of stream of consciousness.
Yes.
With them. Well, let's first start talking about psychics in general. Before, you know, we went to the psychic a few years ago. We'll talk a little bit about that story. But prior to that experience, had you ever been to a psychic?
Nope.
Okay, what were your...
No, wait. I did go to a psychic in 2006 in New York City at 10:30 p.m. into her home with a friend of mine that I lived with in Cambodia. So actually, I did.
You did. Did you have a reading or were you there with your friend having the reading?
We both got one, yeah.
Do you remember anything about it?
I can't remember other than there's no way I would have gone in there alone. Like, we literally were just kidding. We were drunk and we were walking down the street and we were like, let's go into this psychic. But it was in her house, so it was like in her living room. She was Eastern European and it was very interesting. The only thing my friend wanted to know was she going to marry her boyfriend, which she did, and then had three kids of them. So I forget what I asked. Yeah, I don't even remember. But we were drunk, so
okay.
I just remember it being creepy. I mean, it was interesting, but like she was just obsessed with whether she was going to get married or not.
Interesting.
Which I could have told her, not being a psychic, that she would. But they were having a little bit of troubles, you know.
Right. And I'm assuming the psychic did tell her that she was going to get married, and you said she did get married.
Yes, and had three children with him.
Oh, okay. Well, very cool.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I had my first psychic experience when I was, I think it was like sixth grade. It was my birthday party. My mom had a friend who used to sell, I think it was wallpaper at a wallpaper store, but she was a psychic too. So she decided to come to, she was like an astrologer and a psychic. So she would do like readings, but they were like intuitive readings, kind of like Bethany, our resident astrologer we've had on many times. So she decided to do for my birthday gift, this wallpaper lady decided to get the birth dates and times and stuff of all of my friends who were going to be at my birthday party. And she came to the birthday party and she did like these like readings and these intuitive readings with people. And I remember that we were in sixth grade, and she said to one of the girls, like, well, you're going to be the first one to get pregnant. And then she told
me. Oh, my God. In sixth grade.
I need to look her up because I actually do know her name, and I want to know maybe, like, if she has got the oldest kid, you know, if she's on Facebook.
Oh, my God,
she's like,
you should.
My kid's 32.
You didn't do that before this podcast.
I know. Now I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, I have to look her up. And then the second person, she was like, oh, you're going to sort of be footloose and fancy free with the boys. So I'm like, gosh, you know, even in sixth grade, I was like, is that appropriate? Should she be saying stuff like that? I don't even remember what she said about me, but anyways, she gave me this little handheld calculator and it's really cool. It's called like the Astro something and you plug in people's birthdays into it and you can plug in two different people's birthdays and then you hit the equal sign and it tells you if they're compatible. And I remember this was my birthday gift, and I still have it to this day. I pulled it out in the last couple of years just to kind of get a kick out of it. But, yeah, she gave that to me 40 years ago. She gave this to me. And so, anyways, that was my first foray into sort of the intuitive psychic world. At first, I was like, I didn't know what to expect of it. But the fact that my mom brought her in, I don't know if it was more like a party favor than it was like a real thing.
I wonder if your mom discussed it with the other parents. Like, this lady's going to drop some serious bombs on your kid. Oh, they're going to be the first one pregnant. This one's going to be a Skank. I mean, what the hell?
Well, it was the 80s. There was no way.
I like, go, oh, hey, Mom, this lady told me I'm going to be really footloose with boys.
Those were my words. She actually said some other stuff. Yeah, I mean, there's no way my mom would have probably said anything to these people's parents. Again, back in the 80s, nobody even knew where we were. So, yeah. But then I wonder, like, how much is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? You know, one of my friends is like, well, you know, that wallpaper lady in sixth grade told me I was basically going to be, you know, kind of loosey-goosey, so I might as well.
Did the wallpaper lady predict the wallpaper industry would go down the tubes? I hope she made her money and got out in time.
I have no idea. Although, if you watch HGTV, wallpaper is coming back.
Yeah, but that disgusts me.
I have a feeling that this lady is probably no longer with us. She was fairly older when I was very young. But that was my first foray into the psychic world. And then from that point, I had been to some psychics that, like, you know, like psychic fairs. I called a psychic one time, not a 1-800 line, but like I had called a psychic that I had met at a psychic fair and did a phone reading when I was going through a really bad breakup. The one that you helped me through, I called a psychic and she gave me some information and advice. And so this wasn't my first rodeo in the psychic world.
Interesting.
Yes. So, but now I have this curiosity. I'm going to go look up these people on Facebook and see what happened to them.
Yeah, my God, we should know that girl was really. I can't even say the word to be rude, but if she was generous with her time with the boys or not?
I don't know. We'll have to see. So let's talk a little bit about going to our psychic. So this is kind of a fun story. Well, fun in the fact that it ended up like traumatically impacting me and then I wrote a book about it. But regardless, it was cool. So you and I both had kind of this cool tandem experience with a psychic, a local psychic that we had gone to. So I remember I was in a situation where I was just getting out. Well, I had just come through a breakup and I was, you know, curious to see if I would ever love again. And I looked up psychics near me and I found all these different psychic websites and this was the only one that looked kind of cool, although it was like a clip art lady of like a clip art picture of like a lady with like a head wrap and like a crystal ball and a clip art. And I was like, oh, okay, but I'm gonna still go to her. So I went to her, you remember? And I think I called you from when outside, it was like her house. Yeah. And it just said like, it was almost like a real estate sign out front that just said psychic. Mm-hmm. And I called and I'm like, am I supposed to knock on the door? Like, what am I supposed to do? And you're like, I don't know what the hell that is. And so I knocked on the door and this lady ushers me and she's a very thick European, Eastern European accent. She's like, you know, honey, hurry into the house. And, you know, we'd already talked on the phone.
She's super young, like in her early 20s or mid 20s.
Yeah, she was really young, but she was definitely had kind of that, like, the clip art outfit on. I was like, wow, okay, you match your clip art photo. And I go in there and I hear these little kids and they're laughing and I could hear them watching cartoons in like another room and she had the door closed. She takes me into this tiny room and I have this table in there and she really does have a crystal ball on the table. And so she's like, sit down. And it was very kind of urgent and very kind of like dark and kind of gloomy. And I sat down and I proceeded to ask her if I was ever going to love again and all of those things. And I mean, of course, you know, what is a psychic going to say? No, you're never going to love again. You are going to be lonely for the rest of your life. No, of course she said I was going to love again. And then proceeded to tell me that the person who was my quote divine partner or my soulmate was a friend that I had had a crush on, but was, you know, rejected in the moment from that crush and was trying to move on. And all of a sudden now I'm sort of cycling back into that. Oh my gosh, this person's my soulmate. What in the world is going on? And she pulled out some things that were pretty interesting that later on I found out were true. You know, her astrology sign, which I didn't know at the time. She told me what this astrology sign was. It wasn't until months later that I found out what that was and that it was indeed that same sign. Described her to a T. I mean, in many ways, physically described her, kind of described our timeline, described our interactions, described her traits and characteristics. So I'm like, of course I knew who this was. There was no doubt in my mind who this was. So anyways, remember I left there and I came over to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, what happened when I came to your house? I told you the story, and then what happened?
Well, you called me first, and we're like, oh, my God, I have to tell you what happened. I have to come over. And I was home, so you came over, and you told us the whole story. The person I was dating at the time was at the house, I think, yeah. And then I called her and pretended that I heard about her from somebody else.
So yeah, you gave her a different name, didn't you?
Yeah, I told her Vanessa referred me. She probably knew the whole time, but and
well,
then
yeah,
I
she's
went over
psychic,
there.
right?
Yes. Well,
She
what is psychic? What does psychic mean? Does it only mean the future? But that was the thing, is I was trying to throw her off the track. But I called her right after you came over, and then I just set up a time to go meet her, which I did.
Yes.
Later.
And you went into the same house.
Yes,
and
I did.
It was the psychic sign out front. Were her kids in the other room at that time, too?
Yeah, watching TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then her man came over. I was quite like, if I wasn't armed and I knew that, if I didn't know that you came out alive, I wouldn't have gone in there.
And it was kind of sketchy a little
It was
bit.
real near the freeway, and yeah, it was a lot sketchy.
Yeah.
Not a little, it was a lot sketchy.
I mean, at the time, I was desperate for answers, so I was willing to put my life on the line in order to get these answers from this lady.
Right.
So what did she tell you? Anything that you felt was truthful? I mean, I know some of the things she said, but what do you feel really aligned with, like, the truth?
Well, I just had started dating that person. Number one, I walked in and she said, "You're dating a thick woman." And I was like, "Oh?" And she's like, "A heavy woman. You've never dated a heavy woman before." And I was like, "Well, you're right about that." And I was like, "That's so weird, because it's not like she had time. We didn't give her, I didn't give her my name. She couldn't have looked me up." And I don't think at that point I had posted anything on Facebook, because I didn't want, you know, that to be public knowledge, because I had kids and all that. So, she then proceeded to tell me how this person was going to basically break up with me, leave me. Like, she predicted everything that ended up happening. Like, it would be very tumultuous. She told me more about that person, really, than me, I think, at the time.
Yeah, and she told you something about twin flame, too.
Well, with that person, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then I had to look up twin flame, and people misconstrue that as, like, being a soulmate, like, that you're going to be with that person. But actually, it's about a mirror, and that they come into your life to teach you something, and you to teach them something.
Right. And then they usually leave when that is over.
Well, they leave in a
yeah.
really icky way, like a really, like a, this is an ending way, because we don't need
yeah.
each other. And then I've been told since that that contract was over. So she told me everything she said happened. And then I went back to her after it happened. And then she told me what was going to happen again. She was right about everything. So,
yeah, she was. I mean, how did you receive that, though, when she was telling you, you were, like, starting a relationship and weren't thinking about breaking up, and she was telling you, like, you're eventually, this is going to explode.
I knew that. That was clear to
you
me
knew that?
From day one. Yeah.
You knew
I mean, that, hello.
Well.
Yeah, that was clear to me from the get-go. Doesn't mean I didn't still go and enter into it, but nothing that she said surprised me. And she was able to tell me about that person's, like, serious wounds, and that was already evident to me. So for me, every time I've been to the psychic, she's kind of confirmed what I already know. Like, she told me about it. Like, it's not that you and I see it differently, or we go for different reasons. I don't need someone to predict the future for me. It's that they're really confirming what I already know to be the case. And, like, what I suspect will be happening.
Does that come more from, like, your logical brain, or is that your own intuition is telling you something and you just get it, she just validates that? Or were you just rationally like, yeah, I know this isn't going to end well?
No, but, like, she told me something about that person that I had met online recently, and I, like, that person dumped me from 10 a.m. to, you know, liked me at 10 a.m. and then dumped me at 5 p.m. for no reason that I could know of. But I knew that person had an obsessive ex, and the psychic told me that the ex had come into the picture, wanted me out. And so, like, it kind of confirmed what I suspected. So she's always been very validating, more so than predictive. I mean, predictive and validating, I'm going to say. But I don't go because I need answers. I just go to her because she could be, those people could be totally full of BS, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing that this person, Jani Uwanowicz, that's her name, ever said was BS.
Mm-hmm.
To me, And she is interesting because she does have an Eastern European accent, but she's from California. And she's never lived outside the country. But nothing that she, to me, everything she ever said came true and was very helpful in understanding the situation.
Right. Yeah, the meaning making part of it. I mean, that's super helpful. I mean, I went for straight up answers when I went. I was desperate. I was like, I'm heartbroken. Am I gonna ever love again? And then
I
she's
just went for curiosity's sake because you went, and then she told me that person was going to do all this stuff, which she did.
Well, it was your stuff like absolutely came true, and I got in the way of my own prediction from her, and I think I derailed it somewhere. And so you seem to think that it would have, or in some way, in some part, did come true from her, the psychic. But I think I got too much in my head, and sort of my free will sort of drove that in a different direction.
Yeah, because I think you took that information and then you didn't want that to be the case or something, so you wrecked it. You sabotaged it.
I think I did. Yes, I sabotaged
Yeah.
it. And well, the irony too is that after I saw her, I was sort of like, oh, I do not want my future divine partner to be this person who just basically rejected me. And I was like, I can't, I don't want that. So remember, I went to another psychic, and she was different. She was like, she didn't have any kind of accent. She had like jeans and a t-shirt on, and I just went and sat in her house. She still had a card table and stuff, but and a bunch of like, I don't know, gems and things, but she told me the same exact thing. This person was my divine partner. We were going to be together in 3 months. And then I totally freaked out. Then I was like, should I do best 3 out of 5? And like, I'm running out of psychics in town. I don't know what to do. And I do think that perhaps had I not known that, and I hadn't intervened and really just sort of derailed that, I don't know what would have happened. I have no idea. It still could be that nothing would have been different, but something could have been. I feel like my free will just got in the way.
Well, yes, that's where you and I are so different, right? Because I feel like you take that information and you still feel the need to manage it. Your whole thing about being a manager, or just letting things be. You like to
Right.
direct it. You like to be, I kind of just float along. I'm like a piece of wood in the river. I just kind of go along and I just talked to her recently, a couple months ago, right? And that I think I talked about this already on some podcast, but she told me what happened with that person that was like a 12-day whatever, where that person then stopped liking me between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. And then she also told me that I would meet my soulmate. I just need to tell the universe that I was ready, and it would happen really, really quickly. First she said, okay, so the dates, she said, it's going to happen in October or November, and that was in May. And then she said, or sooner, and that's how she talks, or sooner, sooner. But then she said, it's going to happen really quickly, so quickly. It's going to happen, the relationship will happen so quickly. And that was in May, and now we're in July, we're in August, and I'm married. So to me, I don't take her information and go looking. Literally, she told me that, and it happened that I met my now wife, right? It happened. So it's for me, I might have been more freaked out. What is happening? Why the hell am I thinking of getting married after 2 months of meeting someone? Granted, I had known her kids and her ex for much longer, so it wasn't like a random person out of nowhere. But I would have been way more freaked out. So again, it was validating. I might have been like, oh, I should slow down, or I should be different, or whatever. But no, this showed me, okay, this is absolutely what was meant to happen.
Well, how
And
long
I
was
never
it?
try to control the process.
So you, when did you talk to her versus when did you meet your person?
I talked to her on the maybe May 13th. I have to look it up. And then I met my person on that day online, and then in person on May 16th. So it all happened that week.
May 13th.
I'm looking it up. Hold on. Yeah, I must have talked to her on May 12th or May 13th, and I met my wife the same simultaneously on Facebook dating, and then we met in person on the 16th of May.
Okay. So, I mean, it was like when she said, or sooner, she meant like right now.
Yeah, well, she didn't. I don't know that she knows, right? But she knew that it was happening. She said, "All you have to do is tell the universe you're ready, and she will appear." And then I did, and literally, that's what happened. And
Wow.
so, otherwise, had I not had that information, I'd been totally like, "What am I insane? What am I doing?" But because I had that information, I was like, "Yeah, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. This is what I wanted." So I don't question it, and I'm going with it, and I don't let other people's questioning of the timeline affect me whatsoever, because I trust a random psychic way more than I trust people who've known me for 25 years. It's just a fact. It's true.
It is, well,
Because the psychic has no vested interest in me. Like, I had a
yeah.
friend who used to be like, "What are you doing? Why do you keep going to this? Why do you go to the psychic? Why do you do this?" And, well, the psychic's not getting anything other than her hourly rate.
That's true.
Like, she's not getting a single thing out of me. So why
Right.
wouldn't I? You know, why wouldn't I trust this person? She has
Exactly.
nothing to gain from this situation. And no knowledge of me whatsoever, and no biases. Even if my friends mean well, they're still biased, right?
Right, exactly. Well, and if you think about it too, the only vested interest the psychic has is being right so that you come back. Because if the psychic is wrong, you're not going to come back. And so trusting and just telling you what you need to hear, you
Well,
know,
she
is.
always says, "I'm going to tell you what I see. Can
Yeah.
you handle that? If you can't handle that, then I guess go away."
Right.
And, you know, my therapist went to her and said it was so validating. I did not ask what the subject was about, not my business, but like my literal therapist, my Harvard-trained therapist, went to her and found it very helpful
Yeah.
with
Well,
whatever was going on. Yeah.
I mean, I think she's the real deal. I do think she gave me way too much information that was accurate, that regardless of what unfolded after that because of my intervention, I do think she was spot on. And I have had a hard time with other intuitives. There's a couple, you know, people that have intuitive sides to them and I'm like, okay, I trust those. But, you know, like if, like, I don't really want to go to another psychic that's not her. I've been to other people. Since not fully psychics, but intuitives, and you know, some are okay, but she was really spot on. She like knew stuff and she was like just cryptic. But it was also weird for me how the second psychic said the same thing as the first one. So unless they're on some kind of listserv or WhatsApp chat or something, I don't know how this other lady could tell me the same exact thing. It was
Well, I
very, very
think
weird.
there are actual legit psychics, and then there are people who are not.
Yes. And I think I went to two that were. I mean, I liked this first one that you and I went to. She was a lot more thorough, but the second one certainly did sort of validate that. And I was like, oh gosh. But you're right. I do manage it. I'm like, I take this information and I think, what do I do with it? Whereas you just take this information and just keep doing what you're doing and just let it validate you when it happens. And so that was a diff that was a total difference. So, which is why I haven't really been to a full-blown psychic since this experience. So like I said, other people who are sort of intuitive here and there, but because I worry that I have a tendency to just sort of run with it and make things just intervene in ways that might not
Right.
be.
Why do you think you do that?
Oh, it's a control issue. I mean, you know
Knows
me, I like
that.
to be in charge of my own life. I mean, I have my book coming out, you know, all about micromanaging my healing process from a breakup and how if I felt like I intervened and I controlled it, that it would somehow go faster and better and easier, which
Isn't
in
that
some ways, it kind of
interesting?
did because there was intention, right? Like intention matters, but when you're overly intentional, it can really, and you end up overthinking and ruminating and speculating and all the bad things. So there's a fine, there's like a line, like a balance between, you know, taking aligned and intentional action versus just sitting there and then overly controlling every move to, you know, try to make your everything come true. So I think I swung that pendulum way too far then, and right now I'm just sort of sitting in the middle and just like, all right, we're going to see what happens. And so I have seen some intuitives lately, a number of intuitive people. So I'm definitely still open to it, but not a psychic. I haven't seen a full blown, just like psychic
Well,
since.
you should call Jenny.
Yeah, I have to learn how to still work through my, like, I don't know. I mean, I've done good with the whole, like, not trying to overcomplicate intuitive advice thus far from people who aren't full blown psychics, but I don't know. If I talk to Janie again, I might just go right back into that tailspin.
Maybe. So maybe you should insulate yourself from psychics and stuff.
Well, that's what I'm wondering if it's like, because I haven't been, like I've done since then, since I've been to the psychic, I have done palm reading, past life regression, Akashic records, several astrology appointments, and other intuitive life coaches, tarot cards, tons of tarot cards, oracle cards, light readings, all of that. I've done aura readings. So I've been in that space, Reiki, but I just haven't seen a psychic per se. I don't know. Would you go to a psychic right now? No, I mean this. You know, Janny's advice came to fruition. Do you feel like you have more that you want to ask?
No, I'm done. I've found my life's path and purpose.
Okay. Well, good.
So there's really nothing else that I want.
Yeah.
Like
Well.
I don't need her. I already know that her what she said came true, you know?
Right. Right.
So I don't need to hear it from anybody else or, you know.
Yep. Yeah. And I think for me, I have a lot of clarity. You know, I don't need to know, like for instance, when I'm going to find my true love or somebody, I don't need to know the details. I just need to know that for me, I can feel it in my gut that I'm on the precipice of being able to, No, I know exactly what I want. Like, I don't
Right.
need someone to tell me, and it'll come to me when it's ready. And, yeah, so I don't feel like I need the when, where, that kind of thing. How is it going to unfold? All those details. I know in my own gut that it will unfold. I mean, I've always known my life path in my professional life, in my career, my personal, like, all the stuff that is kind of outside of my romantic life, but that's been kind of confusing is my romantic life. And I'm living in a state of just stasis right now and letting my own intuition drive. And it's been serving me.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep letting it do that. So let's switch a little bit. So now we know, our listeners know a little bit about our experiences with this particular psychic in general, but just psychics overall. So when we talk about years in my past life relationships, been told we have them. We've had several. So when you were talking to this psychic just a couple months ago, how did it come up that you were talking about me in your reading? How did she bring it up? Did you bring it up? How did that happen? And then like, what did she say about it?
Well, I probably asked her about you.
Yeah.
I always ask, but it's the same thing other people have told us that we've gone through many lives together, that we agreed to come here to learn these lessons at the same time, that we have this thing, the podcast probably, and maybe some other offshoot of it, or this is the beginning of it, I don't know, business relationship as well. But our friendship is based on all of our past lives. And we keep coming here in order to learn lessons. So we agreed in this for this lifetime to learn lessons together at this, like simultaneously almost.
Yeah, well,
I'm kind of over it. So I'm just wanting to tell you on the podcast, I'm done with that. I'm done. I feel like I've learned what I need to learn and I just need to, I need peace now.
Well, see, that's interesting because that's been my active manifest for the last about 3 months.
Did you write it down?
No, but actually, I verbalized it to a friend when we were on a
What'd you
vacation.
say?
I said, my active manifest is that I would like to find peace. That's it, period.
And I didn't know this before I said that.
You
And
did, I didn't tell you this.
I told my partner that this morning. I said, that's what I want. Like I'm done. Like I just need peace now.
Yeah.
I know what I want. I know what I have. I have what I want, and I just need like to be able to enjoy it and have peace and stop learning these lessons.
That's so funny because that's been my active manifest because I don't have any other like manifests that are like usually you and I learn things like, how to create boundaries, like right at the same time. We're both having very different
Right.
experiences, but it's the same lesson to be learned, or how to trust people, or, not being taken advantage of. Like, we literally go through these at the same time. And at this point, I'm just been seeking peace. And peace for me means letting go of those things that not only don't bring me joy, but bring me disruption. And you and I have had a lot of conversations about that, right? This idea that there's been a lot of very big disruptions in my life in the last probably 4 or 5 months. Whether, you know, I created those disruptions to create change in my own life, or the disruptions are happening around me or to me or at me. But these disruptions, I need to just let them settle and make peace with them, because I know my purpose. I know my worth. I know my value. I know where I want to be in life. I know all these things. So I don't need to make, I'm not searching, right? Mm-hmm. I just want peace in what I have, so that those things that aren't contributing to that scope of what I want in life will just sort of fade into nothing. And you have watched this happen with me over the past few months, where certain things have just faded away. They just have become less important to me, or I'm trying to learn to let them go and try, because I've been holding on to things that aren't serving me and that aren't bringing me peace for just the sake of holding on to them. And you've been helping me work through that so I can let things go and just sort of like be at peace with what is left when the dust settles. And when the dust is settling, and there's some amazing things that are in that pile right there, but I have to be okay with the crumbling disruption for a little bit to get to peace. And so that's been my journey, but you've been really instrumental in that. And that's been part of my manifesting peace. I mean, it's definitely not like all of a sudden I wake up and, you know, the sky opens up and I feel a sense of peace. It's like, I have to sort of sift through what's happening to make the environment so I can experience peace.
Yeah, well, that's literally what I talked to my partner about this morning.
Literally, really? Tell me more about that. Because I mean,
told you I had to get off the phone because she was calling. After she had dropped her son off at school on her way to work. So I needed to talk to her. And then I was just like, I literally need peace. I can't. I'm feeling very rubbed the wrong way by a lot of things happening. And I'm not seeking anything else. I need just to have calm. And my universe is actually getting smaller because of that. And I've never been necessarily like that. I mean, you and I are so different in that you're constantly like with the entrepreneurial type stuff and the podcast and all that, like you're the one push, right? The podcast wouldn't happen without you, obviously, because I would never do anything. I just don't have it in me. Like, I feel like I came to this life to learn relationship stuff. And so I have gotten to what I want and I need to master. That's where my energy needs to go. And then a few relationships outside of that. But like, I feel like there's been a lot, I don't want to get into details on it now, but put on me. And I don't feel like there's really been a lot of support for me besides, you know, a few people and my wife. And I need to take care of myself with my new situation that's really great and complicated at the same time, you know? So I have a wife, and then she has her 3 kids. And so she's co-parenting, and that's very challenging in just logistics alone, but also emotional dynamics. And this is my second time doing it in my life, and I feel like I'm being pulled in too many directions, and it's not allowing me to be present for what I need to be present for. And so I'm not striving for, I have the perfect, I manifested exactly what I wanted with work, right?
Yep.
And that is perfect. I have one last client that I need to get rid of. Well, two that I need to get rid of as far as like long-term stuff. And then all my stuff is like ER work, like bing, 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 triage. I'm just doing consultations. And it's what I wanted. It's what I manifested. I told you that's what I wanted, and I got it. So now I have what I want for work. So I don't want anything else, you know? Like, I really don't. I need peace and calm and able to focus on my situation. And I kind of like almost like had a meltdown last night about it. So I was not in the greatest mood. And so I was trying to relax, and then other things were done or said that then agitated me. And so I actually had a night, that's why I had to talk to her about it this morning, you know?
Right. Well, what do you think? I mean, you're on the path to peace, or do you think there's some more
Yes, but I
rumbling?
have to. No, I am. Like, I've found exactly what I want. I'm exactly where I want to be. And now I have to keep out the things that are causing tension in that, or causing literal, like, could cause problems. I need it. I have to create walls to keep that out.
I mean, that's interesting because it's a, you know, same kind of sentiment, but really different approach. Like you have a lot bombarding you, like, and those walls will help block that. And for me, I have a lot of more disruption, like noise happening around me. So the walls are partially helpful, which I've been trying to do, but mostly it's just the letting go where I'm struggling.
Well, I know, and I told you you need to be stripped down to just yourself and spend some time with yourself so that you can get to the place where you should be, which is where I am now. And I feel like you're on the cusp of that. And so I've tried to be very instrumental in guiding you that way. But you and I sometimes butt heads in the way that you find either my delivery annoying or, you know, difficult to receive, where I'm trying to help you to get to that place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and I think that you're about there. So I wish you would just listen to me.
I know.
You know, I'm not, I don't make money off of being a psychic, whatever, but I am very intuitive and I do have a knowing of things.
I know. Well, I do listen to you. Look at all the things I've done lately.
Well, exactly.
But, I mean, and I know it goes both ways. I know you are my spirit guide, but I'm also here to teach you lessons mutually too. That's like our pact. And so, you know, sometimes I tell you things and you just sort of like, now, and then you have to learn it on your own. And part of that is that it's not about always listening to each other because we're the prophecy of the lesson. It's about being there with each other as we experience the lesson. And sometimes it means giving that lesson verbally to us. And sometimes it means just being there to pick up the pieces when something cracks and helping process through it. And I think that's where we do a really good job. And we're both kind of stubborn and we both have our own ways of doing things. And we both, you know,
but I want to go back to, here's my vision. When, number one, I want to go back to the friendship that we had where it was just you and me hiking, right? And then to have our respective partners together where we can be hanging out together without like this need for external validation, external, this troublesome population that we've been involved with these other things. I mean, that's kind of why I eliminated, that's why I want to change my job. Yeah, I love my job. I love helping people, but I don't like dealing with them long term, and I don't like dealing with their same problem over and over and over and over again. And so what I'm trying to get to is different so that I can have this job that I love, this marriage that I love, this friendship that I love, and have it all be nice and peaceful. And I think that we're getting there. So some of that requires you and me to go back to the way that we used to be. And I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how I can do that with time for hiking and stuff. And I don't know, you know, how that will be, but also to guide you to where I think you need to go, because I already see it. I've told you, I saw it and I'm right about that. So, so I have to say next podcast season, we'll find out if I was right. Because I already
know,
told you who you should be with and what you should be doing.
I know. And I do believe that you're right on that. I have a total intuition on this.
Yeah.
So we'll just fingers crossed that that's what happens. Yeah. Well, it's funny, though, because you say go back to when, like, our partners would get along and all this stuff. I don't know if there was ever that time, was there?
No, no. Not that go back. That part, no. That's our new beginning.
That's our new beginning. That's our new
that's
vision.
That's our new beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that we have four of us that can.
We never had that.
We've never. No.
But we had our thing where our friendship, the stuff that we talked about and the things that we did was less drama filled than it is now. And so I felt like when we hike and we could do that, we could focus more on, okay, how can we have this podcast to help people? How can we do these things? And now I feel like we're just caught in some kind of toxic cycle about other people creating drama and stuff, and I don't want it. I'm
so
over it.
I know. I feel like you and I have been sucked into two different sides of the same vortex.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's the best way I can put it.
And we have these things, like where we went to L.A., where the original purpose wasn't accomplished. And it was good for me to go to L.A., like, okay, would I really want to live here? Because, you know, I was going to move there when Max died, and then the fires happened and all that. And so, you know, that was good. And then you and I had time to talk to actually get down to what was really bothering you, so that you can move forward. So we have those times, but we need those times of like deep introspective talking without all of the noise of what I consider to be people who aren't important.
I 100% agree with you. And this is another one of those things where we're experiencing at the same time. Like, not only we're experiencing the same lesson, like we want peace, but we're also getting a lot of the distraction and the noise and all the chaos, the drama from other people. And frankly, it's sort of in the same vein.
And it's making us unpleasant. It's making it harder for me to do what I need to do. And that was my conversation this morning. And so now I feel like, okay, we've talked about this here. Like, we have to set an intention for ourselves to, like, get to that peaceful place. So I need your help in that by letting go of these other toxic people.
I agree, and I need it from you too. So maybe why don't we make an intention that we have a vision, an active manifest together, that we will get rid of the toxicity and the noise around us, and that we can come together to be more forward thinking and less having to, I mean, I feel like we're both in a survival mode right now. And so the conversations we're having have to happen because we're both just, in some ways, these things just keep hitting both of us, but that we transition out of the survival mode into thrive. So from survive to thrive. Mm-hmm. And that will not only just bring our, you know, just kind of our friendship so we can keep moving forward, but it'll also help both of us individually. And if we work together, maybe energetically, we can push away whatever's going on around us and just move forward. And with a vision of, you know, someday we do see us having partners that we can all four of us hang out and have fun and thrive and not have all the drama.
Yes.
That is
what I want.
That is what I want too.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to go forward with.
Let's do that. So let's move out of this survival mode and help each other out of the survival mode into the thriving mode.
Yeah. And I think one of those things as we age is to see, like, we don't need these extraneous or external things that are damaging for validation or I need downtime and peace more than I need friends at this point. You know what I mean? Because I feel like some of these people are just causing more trouble than they're worth.
Right. Well, and I would beg the question, are they really friends, right? Like, I think that's it. Just kind of.
Well, but as you get older, a lot of people are like, I have these three friends. I mean, my best friend I've been best friends with since 1999, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how many friends do I really need? I don't need any that are causing trouble.
Right. I agree
with you. At all. Period. I don't want it.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I think this is a lesson we're both learning. Like I said, two sides of the same vortex.
Yeah.
For different reasons, different everything. But really, we're getting sucked into something. And I need you to help pull me out. I need to pull you out. Like, let's get out of this vortex. I don't know what that means for us. Like, I don't know if that means something more like really boundaried, or does that mean something more like mindset shift? I've been listening to Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. Actually, I haven't been listening to the Let Them Theory book by Mel Robbins. I've been listening to some woman read the Let Them Theory book by Mel Robbins because it's free if I listen to her read it. And then she has commentary.
Yeah, does she give her own opinions? Because I want to hear somebody else's opinions. I mean, and that's the thing. The Let Them Theory is the same as my therapist says, the fuck it 50s, right?
Right,
where you're
exactly.
Just like, I don't need this. I do not need this. I do not want this. This is where I want my energy to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's hard, though. Like, it's, you know, I'm listening to the book and I'm thinking to myself, you know, let it go, right? Or let people do what they need to do and stuff. And then there's the other part, the let me part, or like let me respond in ways that are healthy for me. And it's hard, right? It's like really hard because sometimes this stuff is just so pervasive. It's just pound, pound, pound. And I've told you all summer, every time I feel like I get my head back above water, it's like, ooh, push it back down, you know, even not necessarily people per se, but like I was having so many car issues. And it was like every time I got it fixed, it would break down again. And it was like, sometimes you just need to be able to come up for air, but
that's why I said just get a new car.
I know, and I did. I just got a new car.
Right.
But that's the mantra of it all, right? Not necessarily just ditch everything in your life and get a new life, but at the same time say, this isn't worth it to me.
Right.
This isn't worth it. I'm not happy. I don't want this energy. And I'm right there with you. I do not like living this place. I mean, remember how you've always described me as someone who could have fun in a cardboard box, like positive and happy. And this last few months have been really smackdown hard, you know, not just one area of my life. You know, I went through a breakup and that's part of it, but there's been so many like smackdowns of other things, not even related to that. It's like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But you know, I mean, I don't know. This is a test, Tracy. Maybe you and I are both going through this so we can come out even stronger, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Well, and now we recognize that
we can make it be. May we go on that path, right? Maybe it is because we make it so.
Right. Well,
I need to enjoy this time. I need to go back to us just hiking and being normal.
I totally agree with you.
You know?
I agree. Well, yes.
So we need to change things up. We need to go back to Sabino Canyon and do Phone Line Trail.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do it. In a few weeks, it's going to be maybe a hair cooler. And
we can go early and we can get it done.
Let's do it. We need to do it. And we need to talk about things other than toxicity and drama, because I think that also puts us in a weird mindset. Let's talk about things in the future. Let's talk about hope. Let's talk about ideas for the podcast. Let's talk about things that bring us joy. Let's talk about your new relationship. Let's talk about, you know, maybe if I enter into a new relationship at some point, you know, like, let's talk about all these like things that bring us joy, because that's where we're going to find it. We're not going to find it just going over and over and over the same stuff.
Right. 100%.
Well, here we are learning
those ties. And that's something that's what we learned from the psychic, because she cut ties for me with someone extremely toxic and that person basically vanished. Poof.
Okay.
And that's what I want, are these other things to poof, you know?
Well, let's do it right now. Let's cut some ties.
Okay.
Let's do it. So think of somebody in your head that you want to energetically cut the cord with right now.
And I've got a lot.
Start with one. Start with one. I will start with one as well. Okay?
Okay.
And imagine that you are connected to this person with like a rope. And see that rope holding the two of you together.
Okay, but I'm doing a group. Okay.
You can do a whole group. You can do however you want.
Yeah, okay.
And then literally take the scissors in your hand. Feel what they feel like when you're like holding the scissors, like ready to cut. And then what you do, take the scissors and just cut right through the rope and let them go, almost like a balloon where they just kind of drift off.
Yeah, drift off. And interestingly, earlier in the podcast, I cut the strings on my hoodie. So I've actually been tying this thing and I cut it earlier.
Huh, interesting. You must have had like a psychic premonition. You had a premonition that you were going to be cord cutting. That's interesting.
Cord cutting. I literally did that while you were talking because my ADHD is so out of control now because my life has become more complicated. And so I can't just sit here and talk to you on the podcast or do my consultations. I have to be doodling or cutting or like reorganizing my pens.
Which I did see you did that earlier.
I know.
Whatever helps, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. ADHD people have to be doing two things at once. I cannot focus without something else physical happening.
Well, and the interesting thing is that what you chose to do as your secondary, like multitask, was cutting something, a cord. So you were sort of setting the energetic tone for what we just did.
And isn't that weird? Because I didn't even know what we were going to talk about on this podcast till we got on it. And so I didn't like pre-plan any of this. And I did feel like this was a conversation that we had to have, because just things have been, it's like you and I are just swirling in a whirlpool of toxicity and I'm over it. I don't think it's serving either one of us.
I don't think so either. So let's get out. Let's get out of it.
All right.
Wow.
Phone line trail it is the next morning we have.
Next morning we are going to go to the phone line trail and we're going to not sink into the quicksand of toxicity. We're going to talk about cool
Right.
things, hopes and dreams, and fun things.
Yes.
Let's do it. I'm on
Let's
board.
do it. Great. All right. That's a wrap.
All right. Yeah, this was not the conversation I thought we were going to have, but guess what? It was the conversation that we needed to have.
There you go. Never see? Oh my God, you let go. You didn't control it. You didn't like bring it back to your outline. We literally had to have this conversation. And that's what people need to do is like, don't be controlling the process. Just let what happens, needs to happen.
Absolutely. 100%.
Boom.
All right. Well, look at that. Lessons learned right there.
Lessons learned right there. I cut some cords. We're moving forward. I already feel better already.
I do too. I literally physically feel better.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I was pretty like down when we started this podcast and annoyed, and now I feel much lighter.
Yeah, me too. It's
Good.
Well, good. We have a direction and we feel better energetically. And this is what always happens with you and me too. I really always appreciate our friendship because we have the ability to sort of make meaning together sometimes and move forward in ways that help both of us. Often we're not down and out at the same time.
Right.
And so we can use the strength of the other, but this time has been really unique. And I think we have to recognize that we'll have to weather the storm and we're going to get out of it. So
Right.
we're already
With
coming out of it.
intention, right? Because we're
Exactly.
intentionally going to do that.
Exactly.
I'm going to
Exactly.
save this knot of hoodie string
That's
in my
great.
memory box. Yeah.
Okay. This is a
Yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
August 4th.
Right.
It's a
Exactly.
moment. We cut the cords.
Yep.
All right. Well,
Okay.
to all of our listeners out there, thank you for joining in on kind of Tracy and my profound conversation. And we hope you got something out of it. And until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.